Hey folks, welcome back to the Overmatch Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin, as usual. And I'm sitting now with Kirsten Morgan today. You're going to be the host next time.
Yes.
You're going to interview me.
Yes, it's going to be awesome.
Okay. I'm a little nervous.
You should be.
Well, the thing is, look, I've done Andy Stump's podcast, I've done Mike Ritlin, I've done, you know, Fieldcraft, obviously, and it's always the same kind of questions to talk about your career and your background. It's all wave tops because I've been around since the early 1600s, and it's all wave top stuff. You don't have any time for more in-depth stuff.
Right.
So I know you put a thing out on social media and said, hey, what do you want me to ask him? And I'll try to answer them all. However, you know, I pretend that I'm a private person, which I kind of am, but, you know, there's so much of me out there on social media. I don't know if I can claim that anymore.
What I'm hoping to do is open up a new, maybe not as known side of you. Like you said, everything on Instagram, it's very, you are obviously out there. You're fairly popular, but a lot of it, of what people know, isn't as, I don't know, it's a weird word to use, but intimate. I want them to know a more intimate side of you.
Oh, God. You might regret
that. A more private side of you.
All right. A little nervous, but we'll see. I'll try to answer every question you send me
okay.
or you ask me. What are we talking about today?
Situational awareness.
Situational awareness. So I did a post on the last podcast I did. Caffeine and questions, mm-hmm. and it might not be the last one now, but I was talking about situational awareness vaguely, and I veer down these roads, and the common answer is, and the very kind of popular answer is, you know, you go in and you scope the exits and you sit with your back, you know, in a restaurant, you sit with your back to the wall and you watch everything and all that. And I was saying, and some people were pissed off. One guy called me.
No, on social media?
Oh, yeah. One guy called me an MFer and he said his drill sergeant told him to do that. Well, if a staff sergeant in the army told you, it's got to be true, right?
Right.
However, I don't get to go into a restaurant and pick where I sit, right? I'd be like, I don't want that seat. I'm going to sit with my back to the wall and scope all the exits, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being situationally aware. There's nothing wrong with being aware of your surroundings. And that's not what I was saying. I was saying when you try to see everything, you end up seeing nothing. You end up focusing on the wrong things.
Exactly.
And missing the important stuff, right?
Yeah. And of course, it doesn't mean that you're not still aware. Obviously, most restaurants, you don't get to choose where you sit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you sit in a way that positions you a little bit better to be able to see the doors. I mean, I know I do that. But at the end of the day, it's not about paranoia.
Yeah.
It's about readiness and just looking for what doesn't fit. I mean, when I was I've told this story a bunch at my trainings, but when I was a rookie, I used to pay attention to everything. And because of it, I saw nothing because it exhausts you. It's not, you can't do it. It's not going to work for very long because it exhausts you.
Yeah,
and then you're going to miss the important things. It's not sustainable. And what I realized, thankfully, fairly quickly, was the easiest way to describe what situational awareness is what doesn't fit.
Yeah.
And it's what doesn't fit that is the thing you should pay attention to. You just can't, it's not physically possible or mentally possible to pay attention to every single thing that's happening around you at all times. And if you can just pay attention to things that don't fit, like, for example, is it 90 degrees outside and somebody's wearing a winter jacket? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't fit. There's a reason for that. Maybe there's not. Maybe it's a mental issue. But there's something that's off that's making that person wear a
jacket. Or it's 30 degrees outside and that guy's wearing no pants.
Yeah. Which happens.
That's off all the time anyway.
Yeah.
If you've ever been in the military and done airborne operations and either static line or military free fall, the way they train you as a jump master. And at the time, initially, when I got it was a pain in the ass when I went through the training. But it makes so much sense because when I rig up a parachute on you, static line or free fall, and I rig up a rifle and O2 mask and freaking reserve parachute and all this crap, your rucksack and all that, obviously, if it's not put on properly and a strap is going where it's not supposed to be and it's going to get impede your parachute or your reserve, then you have to recognize that stuff. And what they do at both schools, they make you go through this JMPI process, right? This preparation. And they make you inspect all that gear hundreds and hundreds of times. And then they start putting in twists and straps and leg straps. And it just jumps out at you. As soon as you see it, you're like, wow. And you almost can't miss it because your brain is very, very in tune to what looks right.
Right. And that's what, as civilian, you've gone through and done the things that you do every day hundreds and hundreds of times. The biggest thing that you can do is pick up your head and put your phone down. Pay attention, because at the grocery store, what do you expect other people to be doing? Walking in and out of the grocery store, getting their food, paying for it, leaving, you know, should anybody be meandering around doing absolutely nothing? No, right? And that's the thing that doesn't fit. Could it be innocent? It could. Could it not be? Yeah, it could be something more sinister. And if you act and decide, hey, maybe I'll go to a different grocery store, or maybe I'll walk in around this way and stay out of that little area. You know, I mean, it's worth doing something and not regretting it than not doing anything and regretting it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, surveillance detection, right? You think somebody's following you, and that could be in a grocery store. Well, you go down, you turn, you come back the same way, and you see their reaction. When you're a cop, right? You were a cop for 12 years. When you're a cop and you're doing your cop thing, right? And you see something that's suspicious, I assume you just sit and watch for a little while and just see, because something that looks suspicious may not be, right? This guy's hanging around, he's hanging around, and oh, he meets somebody and he leaves, right? You get to the point, obviously, where you're like, okay, that doesn't look right. Let me just put a little more emphasis on that, I assume, right? How long did that take to kind of build that awareness and that kind of rhythm on the job?
I think about 3 years when you start getting a lot more proficient at that.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it really does take a lot of practice.
Yeah.
And a lot of interaction with people and recognizing body language. And, oh, we still need to do that video where you tell me me a true story.
I was hoping you forgot about that.
Yeah, I have not. We're going to do that. People want that. But, you know, body language is a huge indicator. And that's, if you can just pay attention to what the body is saying, then you're going to know an intent pretty quick, because you just can't fake it. You have to be really, really skilled and trained to be able to cover up on your face or in your body language what you're about to do.
Yeah, if you have ill intent, right?
Right.
You're going to have that nervous walking around, pacing, all that kind of stuff. And there's some great videos that we show on courses we did before on that. Tell me when we were running the personal security course before, when we were building it, you wrote the intro. Tell me what that intro was.
Essentially, you know, my husband and I, who's also a police officer, have seen hundreds and thousands of cases where it was just one thing that person could have done differently, just one thing that could have saved their life or prevented them from having a horribly tragic situation happen. And we wanted to be able to share, like, if they would have just seen this one thing or done this one thing, that's what our goal was. We wanted to be able to make a difference so that they didn't become a victim, so that they could see the ill intent or the threat before it happened and maybe go to a different store or walk a different direction or call someone to come pick them up. You know, there's so many different things, but that's what really hurt us when we look through all these reports is, man, it was something so simple that could have made a difference. And it's just, you don't know what you don't know, like we always say. And I feel like it's our role now, not being in the fields that we are anymore, to be able to help everyday people who didn't get the same experiences and training that we did to recognize things that they wouldn't know to recognize because they haven't been through the things we've been through.
So talk to me about common misconceptions people have about being situationally aware, because we all have to live our life, right? We all have a very, very robust routine. You go to work, you come back, you go to groceries and all that. And you can't be super hypervigilant all the time. Or like we said, you'll burn out. What are kind of common misconceptions about what situational awareness are?
I think the assumption that it's paranoia, that you're just high alert all the time, and it's just not. It's just, it's paying more attention and just being aware of your surroundings. It's just keeping your head up instead of it being in your phone. It's, you know, when you put your groceries in your car, instead of having your back facing out to everything while you're putting groceries into your car, looking at only your car, or maybe it's your kid or whatever, turn and just shift yourself a little bit in the car so that it's more the door that's behind your back. And so that when you go back to the cart, you can see the whole parking lot as you reach for that bag and then go back. You know, it's little things like that. Simple.
That's not going to mess your whole day up, right? And there are people, and somebody said this on Instagram, there are people, combat veterans, who are paranoid and hypersensitive, and they do all this stuff. That is not normal. I'm a combat veteran. I don't freaking do that, right? But I am very situationally aware of what's going on around me. But it just becomes part of my normal day. And little things like that about turning your body and using the door to shield your back and stuff like that.
Or in Houston, I posted a few times about it, a female who, she was getting her toddler out of the car and pulled the car into the driveway like normal people do, right? So the front of the vehicle is facing the garage and her home. Well, it was late at night and she which a normal person, you know, you get distracted, you're dealing with your kid and mm-hmm. carrying all your bags and stuff. But the guys pull up behind her and jump her and rob her at gunpoint.
Mm.
And she did what she needed to do to survive. And she put her hands up, complied, gave over her crap. And thankfully, they didn't do anything to her son or her. However, one thing that, you know, people can say, oh, have your gun here or put your gun there or, you know, always be prepped and ready with your hand on your gun. Like, come on. Yeah. That's not realistic. We can't just do that 24/7 when we're living our lives and we have toddlers that we're holding or bags that we're carrying in. But one simple thing she could have done differently was parked her car the opposite way, backed into her driveway. Mm. So now when she's getting her toddler out or her bags, she's facing the street. So she can at least anticipate and see the creepy vehicle that's passed three times or is slowing down and now somebody's jumping out, which gives you just a little more time, a little bit more of a reactionary gap to be able to maybe go for a weapon or, you know, if your kid isn't in the car, run for the hills, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So just little things like that, that's what... That's realistic.
Yeah.
You know, you can try to be this big BA dude who says, you know, back to the wall all the time and always watching your... Come on. Even they are not on high alert all the time. It's impossible as a human to maintain that.
I know hundreds of combat veterans, and I don't know any of them that actually do that. I've heard some of them talk about doing that, but it's not realistic oh, no, I'm not going to take that seat in the restaurant because it... It's not the right place. I'm going to wait. It's just not realistic. So common sense tactics, for want of a better word, in your daily life is the best way to combat that. Unfortunately, we live in a world that can be quite dangerous, especially for women, right? You know, coming to a empty parking lot or a underground garage, and before you open your door, make sure you can see all four doors in case somebody tries to get in your car, getting in your car and locking your door right away. Just these things that are not paranoia. They're just good things to do that may make the difference. You know, when you start researching these things on social media, you start getting flooded with them. All these videos of attacks and stuff. Can you think of any offhand that you've seen recently that spoke to you that would be a good lesson for some of them coming up?
Definitely that one with the parking, just driving instead of facing in, facing out.
Yeah, that's a really good lesson learned. What other videos have you seen recently? Because watching these videos online, they make you more aware. I mean, I saw one where there was a woman in a car, and I think it was foreign because it was a right-hand drive car, and she's sitting there with her windows open, and a guy goes past, and it's kind of a tight squeeze, and he's on a motorcycle, but he's walking the motorcycle, and he hits her mirror and flips it out, you know the way it does? And then he goes, oh, I'm sorry, and he keeps going. Well, when she rolls down the window to fix it, there's a guy right here, and he runs up and robs her. Like, freaking, seems like half the fucking world are trying to rob the other half sometimes.
Yeah.
What's another video you've seen that has good lessons learned?
As we know, Amazon does a lot of delivery now that's just normal cars, normal people. And there was one that, same kind of situation, he had what looked like a traffic vest on, came to the door with the package. And when the homeowner opened the door, he tried to get in and the homeowner was prepared and had a firearm and he lost that. But that kind of stuff is real and it happens all the time. It's like you said, it just feels like everyone's out to get us sometimes.
Especially when you watch it, a lot of this stuff online. Let's talk about some general guidelines for better situational awareness that everybody can do. It's not crazy paranoia stuff.
Let's start with online because that's a huge part of everyone's life now that didn't used to be, even in my childhood. So for what you put online, even if it's things like Snapchat where they say the picture's deleted and it, you know, it only lasts 30 seconds or whatever, it's not. I'm telling you, it's not. And being a police officer and what I was able to recover from different sites or apps or whatever you put out there, if it's private information, you're selling part of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's a photo, whether that's your address, your phone number, your date of birth, you're giving people an easier way of getting to you. Whatever their intention is, maybe they're just a bully or, you know, a stalker, or maybe they're a pedophile. Maybe it's somebody who just wants to steal your information, which is, you know, a very lucrative crime right now that is very hard to prove. And that makes your life miserable. You know, it doesn't matter what stage in your life. The internet is great, but it's also horrible.
Mm.
And we need to be aware of it. You know, an email that you don't know that has some kind of weird attachment, don't click it. It's as simple as that.
People send me emails all the time with links. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm not opening them. I don't know you. I'm not clicking on the link you send me. And it's probably totally innocent. It's probably a YouTube video or something you're sending me. I'm not clicking that link. Just not do it. It's too risky.
Yeah. And all the social media where, you know, especially in this day and age, kids just want to be popular. They want that like. They want, mm-hmm. you know, to have that picture or whatever it is that gives them that little extra step. Parents, it needs to be private. If mm-hmm. they're going to have a social media, it needs to be private and not public. And even that really only does so much, to be mm-hmm. honest. There is a huge need for parents to tell their children about
dangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dangers of what just a simple, what you might think is innocent mm-hmm. picture can do. And here's when my daughter gets older, I'm going to try to keep social media away from her as long as I possibly can.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. But if she posts something that's maybe a little bit more showy mm-hmm. and not necessarily, you know, a naked picture or anything like that, but just something that is a little bit more showy, like, what is the motive? You know, ask your children, what's your motive for this photo? And if they don't have a good answer, like, walk them down that road, because what it is to others could be extremely, extremely dangerous. And you have to realize that the friends that you think are friends and maybe a younger kid up the street who's good looking, it could easily be a 68-year-old mm-hmm. bald-headed fat dude. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, you just never know who you're talking to. And that social media is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I did a 2-week course in special operations. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but the first week was defensive online, how to protect all your information online. And the second week was offensive. And it was how to crack passwords, how to bypass computer passwords, how to pull stuff out of the air in Wi-Fi. And one of the exercises we did, we went to a public coffee shop, and we just sat there pulling stuff out of the air. And it's not even legal. If you get on a public Wi-Fi and you're sending information, it's like you took that information like on a page and dropped it in the street. And if somebody picks it up, it's not stealing. So if that stuff's going across an open Wi-Fi, it's free. And you would not believe the stuff we were able to pull out of the air in just a couple of hours.
Yeah. Have you ever, well, maybe before you were as popular as you are now, have you ever Googled yourself?
No.
If you Google yourself, it is unbelievable the things that you can find, from your personal information, pretty much all of it.
Don't be Googling me. Don't be telling people to Google me.
I've even done it to myself, and I'm not popular.
No.
And I mean, everything is out there, and there's ways to try to remove some of it. Mm. But remember, whatever you put out there is out there. And, you know, even you get a membership to Harris Teeter or Lowe's or Food Lion, places like that. And it's, you know, a free membership so that you can get discounts on products, right?
Mm.
Well, in reality, they are collecting tons of information on you. First of all, all of your information that you use to sign up for it. Then they track everything you purchase, how often you purchase, and so on and so forth. And then they're selling all that information to the highest bidder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean,
it's horrible.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a podcast with someone soon who is really knowledgeable about that, and it'll blow your mind.
Yeah,
some of the stuff that I've learned.
It's funny, when we did that course in the military, I think somebody asked, "What's the most popular?" Because they have these programs that'll just flood your computer with passwords, and it'll hit it immediately. Yep. It'll hit it eventually, right?
Yeah,
and that's why they have your password be kind of complicated. But we're like, "What's the most popular password?" And they're like,
password
Q-W-E-R-T-Y shift Q-W-E-R-T-Y, that's the keys across the top. And yeah, most popular password out there. Yeah, so like the best way to have a password is pick three random things around your room, take the first three letters of each one, throw a couple of hashtags and a couple of numbers in there, and not like,
and not anything that relates to you, your child's name or the color from your high school or college mascot or, numbers of your house.
Yeah, yeah. Or
phone number or
birth
whatever.
Date or anything like that, right? All that information. Anyway, nothing is safe on the internet. It's just not.
It's not.
And nothing is ever deleted on the internet. It's always, always, always there for people who know how to dig and find it. It's a scary freaking world. What else? That's the online stuff. What else? If people want to get on a Zoom call with you and talk mm-hmm. about personal security and situational awareness and just making smart choices. How did you do that?
Just email us at info@overmatchconsulting.com.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I really go over in the Zoom calls or in person is I show a ton of videos and I point out the body language. I point out the things that don't fit. And, you know, when people watch them initially, they're like, oh, he's creepy. Well, why is he creepy? Mm-hmm. If you can break that down, then you're going to get a lot better and more efficient at picking things up in real time. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the big things we go over.
That one-on-one training, whether in person or on Zoom, and I've done a couple of them now, it's huge value because you're getting a personalized training program for you and for your life and what you do. So I highly, highly recommend it. So we're doing in-person training, we're doing online training, we're doing a bunch of other stuff. www.overmatchconsulting.com, kind of in there, and let us know. Hit up Kirsten on her at Rosie K Bar Instagram and tell her what questions you want me to answer.
Yes, R-O-S-E-Y-K-B-A-R.
Yep. And then if you haven't subscribed to YouTube, please subscribe. It helps out a lot.
And podcasts.
Yeah.
And we have merch coming soon.
Mm.
Stickers are already here, and we've got t-shirts and hats coming in.
So we won't be wearing other people's hats from now on. Cool. All right, Kirsten, thank you so much. And until the next time. Bye.
See you then.